God is powerful, as mighty as the sword. It pierces through the ages, proclaims a loving Lord. It speaks of one who sacrificed, that we might have eternal life. His call to us is just to lift him up. Lift up the cross, lift up the cross, till every eye has seen the Lamb of Calvary. Lift up the cross, lift up the cross. Exalt the Son of God who died. Take up his cross and lift it high, till every eye has seen the Lord. Lift up the cross. The message of the cross of Christ is one of peace and hope. The power of the cross is in the sinless blood that flowed. How can anyone believe the message they have not received? God calls again for us to lift him up. Lift up the cross, lift up the cross, till every eye has seen the Lamb of Calvary. Lift up the cross, lift up the cross. Exalt the Son of God who died. Take up his cross and lift it high, till every eye has seen the Lord. Lift up the cross, lift up the cross, till every eye has seen the Lord. Lift up the cross.
Turn it to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 18. If you have your handout, we're going to go through a lot of verses today. And I think I'll just stay right here, Brother Oscar. So I don't think we'll need the other one there. Thank you for making church important and being here tonight. Probably won't be too late today. Go home early. Is that okay? Everybody good with that? You guys want to stay? You want to stay a long time? After I dismiss everybody, you can come back. We'll put in some CDs for you. We'll go there. But I love our church, and I just can't say enough good things about our church. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I love this place. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. If you don't know my background, I was went to church as far as I can remember. Didn't get saved until I was a teenager, but went to church just as far as I can remember. And we went to a Southern Baptist church, and church was a place where we just went on Sundays. The preacher would preach in Khmer, and I would sit in the back. As soon as he started preaching, Miss Samantha, I would sneak back there. Brother Kamal, they were preaching Khmer, so I would sneak back and say, I don't understand what they're saying. I did, but nobody got time for that, you know. So I went out and went skateboarding and just hanging out, playing and everything like that. But God did something when we came to our church here. I remember the first time Pastor came to our house. And him, and I think it was Pastor Board, and were interested in coming to the school, and he came. And I remember seeing the man with the big nose. Yeah, that's what I thought. I go, wow, that's a noggin. And I sat there, and we're talking about the school, and they were visiting with us a little bit, and my mom had visited the church before. And, you know, I was thinking about going to Long Beach, Wilson or Milliken and Pauley. And I went to go visit those respectable schools at that time. And I got the look and everything like that. And people around me said, oh, man, you just got to watch out for the Mexicans. Excuse me, Hispanic people. I said, well, why? I said, they don't like us Ching Chongs, man. They don't like us Chinos. I didn't know anything. You know, the first time I was a skater, Brother Raw and I took my skateboard, and I wanted to be a pro skater. And I went down to Olympic Pool right outside there. People would skate there. So I went over there. I asked my neighbors, where do people skate? So I went down there, and I skate. And there's some guys that came, and everybody took off. And they said, Nate, let's go. I didn't know, really know. I was just meeting them. And I'm from Massachusetts, a small town. And I said, no, I'm not done yet. I still want to skate. And then some, I thought it was English second language, but it's Eastside Longo. You know, people, I see ESL all over the place. I'm thinking, you know, people are proud of English second language. But it was Eastside Longo. And they came, they asked me where I'm from. Well, usually when people ask you where you're from, you know, you say, where you're from? I said, oh, I'm from Massachusetts. And they socked me a couple of times. I think they didn't like it. So I'm from Cambodia. I mean, and I just got, Brother Lopez, I got my board and I ran. I said, you guys, I know why you're running now. And that time I put my skateboard away and made sure I stayed home. Didn't want to go out anywhere. And found out real fast, Long Beach is not a really good place at that time for me to walk around, skateboard, and be on the streets. So decided not to do that anymore. But I just started falling in love with the church. The preaching was on par. I mean, before, the preaching was like way over my head. I went there because my parents made me go. And the preaching now, Pastor, when I came, it was like, I could take this. And I actually understand. It's funny. It's applicable, if that's a word. I could take it and I could live it. And my love for God started to grow, and my Christian life started to grow, and I started coming to everything. I remember as a ninth grader, I went to a different church. I went to the Calvary Chapel. I went to the Vineyard. I went to our church. I never knew about a charismatic church or anything contemporary. All the churches I ever went to was all traditional. And I was open, and I'm like, what in the world is this? This sounds like the music that my sisters listen to, you know? It doesn't sound like Christian music. And we went there, and I remember, you know, going to this charismatic church. People were, like, speaking in tongues, yelling and screaming, and the teenagers, like, wow, these people must have something I don't have. I'm saying, and I was really at that time praying, God, where would you have me to go? Show me the true church that you want me to be. I just want to do your will. And I remember as a ninth grader praying that, and God, something God just said, you know what, I don't want you to go there anymore. Because at that time, our family, you know, and by the way, we're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to listen to the kid. But if I told my parents, my mom and my sisters, okay, well, we're going to go to this church, everybody would win. It was just, you know, I don't know what it is. They just listened to me even as a ninth grader. But God started to do something in my life, and I loved it. The moment I stepped foot on our campus, not this one, but in our church, I knew something was special. I knew something was there. We are in the midst of a very, very great place, guys. Don't ever forget that. Sometimes we're here and we sit and we just sit down and we're like, oh man, you know, what's going on? There's not a lot of churches like our church here. Our church in the summer, I mean, Thursday night, we have over 100 people or close to 100 people out, and this place is pretty much, you know, the experts say 80% full is full. And close to 100 people out, and it's still pretty good here. Pastor's out, still pretty good. Our church is an awesome church. So many new people have been reached. I mean, baptisms, Sunday night has been amazing. It's just crowded. Thursday night, a regular Thursday night, you go outside and man, it's packed. It's not supposed to be like that in the summer. You go to most churches in the summer, crickets, crickets. I don't go out to a lot of churches, but I went to one church this summer, and it was a couple churches, and I'm thinking, oh my soul. Usually when we go on vacation, I take my sister's people and I take my other sister's people, and we just go as a mob. And we outnumber the people at that church. And it's just funny sometimes, and it's nothing bad with it. It's just, that's just how it is. We have a great church. I asked Brother Joseph about our Bible college. I said, how are we doing the Bible college? He said, man, a Bible college is going to be amazing. The dorms are jam-packed. We don't know where to put people. We're probably going to put up tents out here and they can stay out here or something. We don't know where to put them. It's jam-packed. I was talking to a youth pastor during youth conference and just shaking his hand. I said, his son was going to graduate. I said, man, where are you going to college? He said, oh, we registered him already. He's coming here. I said, praise the Lord. College is doing well. School is doing well. We have graduates serving just here or lay people here. I mean, out in the mission field. They're just doing an amazing job. This past year, the church in Monterey Park became its own indigenous church. And just praise the Lord for that. The pastor there is my brother-in-law. I remember Brother McDermott. I remember fishing with him, and my sister-in-law, Susan, said, hey, can you witness to my boyfriend? I said, well, I can witness to him, Susan, but you might want to get right with God yourself first, though. She said, well, I'm working on it. I said, okay, well, let me take him fishing here, and I'll talk to him. And I remember inviting him to friend day, and God started working in his heart. God's doing something great here. If you have not been to our missions work yet in Laos and in that part of the world, in Southeast Asia, it is phenomenal. That celebration Sunday and standing room only. I mean, it was crazy. We went to Laos. And, you know, communist place, and, you know, you can't pass out tracts or anything like that. And Brother Tong, they go, yeah, we have a couple people here. We went into Brother Joseph. You remember? Were you there, Brother Joseph? You remember going into that room? Were you amazed? I was surprised. I'm like, there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people. It must have been what, maybe 70 people up in there. And it's an underground church. God's doing great things here in our church. I'm the youth pastor, and I love our teenagers. I think we have awesome teenagers. They're not perfect, but they need help just like any teenager, but we have teenagers that love the Lord. By the way, you know why we have all these great things? God's blessing. God's blessing. God's doing something here. You know, and God doesn't just bless a ministry. He blesses also a man. And I hope we understand that. Pastor Myers has been here since, I believe, day one. I mean, he's been serving faithfully as an assistant pastor. And then a pastor got sick. I don't know about you, but if it wasn't for Pastor Myers, I don't know what would happen to our church during that time. I remember I got the call. And I told my wife, I said, Pastor's sick, I'm going to go to the ER. And it's driving, I'm thinking, what are we going to do? Because I had asked Pastor Myers before, hey, man, you ever want to pastor? He said, you think I want to die? He said, I don't want that. He said, I don't want that on myself. He never wanted to be a pastor. He never wanted to do this. But God sent him for such a time as this. I thank God Pastor Myers has not wavered our biblical standards, has not changed, has not compromised in our biblical stand in different ways. I thank God. Amen. Let me say this. Pastor Myers can't preach this message. It would be awkward for him. It would be awkward for him to preach something like this. He's not here, so, you know, we could preach it. And if he's sitting right here, he'd probably feel uncomfortable. Let me say this. We need to take care of the person that lays a golden egg. Right. Somebody said, take care of the goose that lays a golden egg. Yeah. We need to take care of the pasture. Look at what the Bible says here. Second Samuel chapter 18. I'm sorry, I'm not going to yell or scream or anything like that. It's just going to be some teaching here, so I apologize if you're here for yelling and screaming. You can listen to Brother Gray or something online. Why should we keep the pastor healthy? Letter A, because how valuable he is. The pastor is valuable. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. You have handouts, no? Yes? Okay, the verses are on there. If you don't want to turn your Bible, I encourage you to turn your Bible. If you don't have it, it's on there. And David numbered the people that were with him, in verse 1, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David set forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab and a third part of under the hand of Abishai. Hopefully I said that right. Joab's brother, this guy, Joab's brother. And the third part under the hand of Ittaiah the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succor us out of the city. And the king said unto them, what seemeth the best to do? And the king stood by the gate, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. You know, without the pastor, we don't have a great church. Some of our staff were thinking, I said, man, who could take care of our church? Who could pastor this church? Brother Joseph and I was talking, I said, not many people from outside. This is a unique church. Our church it's different. And our pastor did it a certain way, and Brother Myers has his heart beat and everything like that. And without the pastor, there's no great church. Somebody said instability kills an organization. And instability kills a church. Why keep the pastor healthy? Because of how valuable he is. Number two, because the devil's after him. The devil's after him. First Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. God wants to destroy the pastor. The Bible says, you smite the shepherd, the sheep will flee. Or scatter, I should say. You know, the person that the devil wants to get most is a pastor. Let's keep him healthy. So why? Because, because you need a healthy pastor. You need a healthy pastor. Let's keep the pastor healthy. Number two, how do we keep the pastor healthy? And I got about 10 minutes here. I'll be done. 15 minutes, I'll be done. How do you keep the pastor healthy? Number one, real fast, letter A, by showing him respect. I'm trying to transition because I've been used to for 25 years or so calling him. Before, we used to call him Brother Steve. And then we kind of took out the first name, and then we called him Brother Myers. So I'm just trying to get used to it, to call him Pastor Myers. And when I introduce him, instead of introducing him as Brother Myers, I want to introduce him as Pastor Myers. But show him respect. He has the highest office. He has a higher office than the mayor, than the governor, than the president. Treat his office like it's supposed to be. It helps him to live up to it. Treat him with respect. And by the way, he's your friend and everything like that. And Pastor Myers, he kids around, and some of us, we've known him for a long time. But sometimes, purposely, we have to get out of that where it's Brother Myers or Brother Steve, and we got to transition to his pastor, Pastor Myers. 2 Thessalonians 5:12-13, the Bible says that we beseech you, brethren, to know them that which labor among you, and that are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And it be at peace among yourselves. The Bible says to admonish them. The word beseech there means to ask with urgency. To esteem means to very highly means to be to give great reward or to give great regard or to honor it, and saying, man, that's somebody great. You know what? If the president of the United States walk in here, and some of you might be for him, some of you might, but people still call him Mr. President. Kobe Bryant, if he came in here, everybody would flock to him and give him some respect and some honor because of his sports accolade. Let's give our pastor some honor. Number next. How else can we do it? By taking care of his needs. Now, our church in the early days, it was brutal. I remember Pastor Myers, he lived in an apartment. And we have Sunday school there, and we'll go over there. And same thing with your parents, Brother Joseph. I don't know how many children. They would all manage apartments. I remember going over there. And me, a dumb teenager, Brother Raw, I just go, and you know, the first place I look, because I'm a dummy, I go open the refrigerator. And I used to always go to Miss Alva, Pastor Myers' house, and hey, what's for lunch? What's for dinner? And they got so used to me, so sick of me eating their food, they always buy hot dogs. So every time I went there, I said, you got hot dogs? So we knew what to eat. When we got there, we had hot dogs. But we had Sunday school at Pastor's house before, and we'll go, we'll have burritos and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, there was a bowl of fruit, and it says, please don't eat our food. Eat the fruit on this thing here. I look back, like, man, what idiot teenagers we were. But those were rough days for them back in those days. I remember Pastor's car. Somebody donated a car from it. It was a Honda Civic. It was a classic. Two doors, no brakes. I mean, talking about drifting, you know, when you, I guess when you drift, you do that handbrake thing. That's the only brake he had. And the door, the passenger door did not close. It closed, but you had to hold it. So I would put my seatbelt on. He'll say, Nate, put your seatbelt on. Now you got to hold it close, or else if I turn it, it'll open up. I'm thinking, yes, sir. Pulling that thing up. And Joseph, you remember that car? Brother Joe, you remember that car? Yeah. And it was rough. It was rough back then. During those early days, they used to mow lawns, both Pastor Myers, Pastor Esposito. But because of their sacrifice, God took care of them. And by the way, as a church, our church right now is capable of taking care of the pastor. So let's take care of him. Let's take care of his need. Man, they lived in bad neighborhoods before. I'm talking bad neighborhoods. I remember living with Pastor one time, and a guy at night, I think his name was Peaches. He'd call something. Somebody would always call, Peaches, Peaches. And it was like, I think it was druggies or something like that. But it was just a crazy time. But let's take care of his needs. By the way, it's okay sometimes to get them their wants. You see a need, get it for them. Let's be kind. The Bible says this, 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Turn to that verse real fast. 1 Timothy 5. Almost out of time here. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Let the elders that rule, how do they rule? Well. I think Pastor Myers has ruled well. Be counted worthy of double honor. What's that next word? Especially. Yes, the word especially there is awesome, because you'll say, hey guys, take care of these kids. But especially take care of my son. You know, keep an eye on that person. You know, yeah, take care of these, but especially watch that one. Because you're telling, when you say especially, that means keep certain attention on that one. And the Bible says, especially they that labor, and the word labor there is work, in the word and what? Doctrine. And the Bible says they're worthy of double honor. And by the way, let me say this. And we're not like this anymore, but a pastor shouldn't get a second job and then try to pastor at the same time. Just doesn't work. I mean, if they have to do that, they have to do that, but not because the people don't obey God in tithe. I thank God for our church. And Brother Joseph, we have a giving church. And we have a church that sacrifices. And I thank God for Stewardship Month. And we talked about that. But let me say this. Do your part in obeying the Bible and tithe. It takes care of the needs of the pastor. You say, oh, the pastor shouldn't, you know, supposed to work for God. Okay, well, somebody still he still has to pay bills. He still has to, you know, eat. He still has to feed his family. So take care of them. And by the way, let me say this. And sometimes our people, they think, oh, you know, as far as with missionaries and stuff like that, I was talking to Brother Vaughn. I said, man, I feel sorry for some churches that treat missionaries the way they do. They come, oh, we'll put them in the shack, and you're going to be a missionary, so you're used to it. Really? These people are going to go and preach the word of God. Let's take care of them. Same thing with our pastor. Let's take care of them. The Bible says in verse 18, for the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Number next, not only take care of his needs, take care of his emotional needs. You know, the pastor feels the same way we do. And some of us, we think we could just unload on him. By the way, that's what he's there for. You can tell him stuff. But sometimes just wait until after he preaches before you give him bad news. Take care of his emotional needs. Somebody once said a pastor's emotion is like a cell phone battery. It drains the more you use it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. Bad news, what happens? It goes down. By the way, don't get me wrong. If you talk to the pastor, some of you, let me say this. This is just a family thing. Some of you are foolish when you make a big decision and you don't go and talk to the pastor. It's just foolish. I was talking to somebody recently, and I said, hey, man, can you do me a favor? I said, I'm kind of close to you, so if you get offended, I apologize. I said, can you have at least the courtesy to talk to your pastor before you make this big decision? I'm not saying your decision is wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't make that decision, but I think you should go get some counsel. I don't know what it is. It's instilled in me any major big decisions that I have. I go talk to our pastor. What Bible college I went to, I spoke to him. Who I married, I spoke to him. Purchasing a home, I spoke to him. I remember buying my first car, spoke to the pastor. Laid it out. I said, this is what I'm, oh, I'm my own man, I can make my own decision. You could do that, that's fine. But I want to make sure I get some counsel from him. Don't make a decision and regret it. And he's not. But by the way, he's not El Pope. Okay, whatever he says, you must do. No, he's for you. He wants the best for you. And by the way, here's the difference. Don't go in and tell him what you're gonna do. Go in and say, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think, preacher? Help me out. Make sure you do that. But bad news goes down. Low offerings goes down. Several bad counseling appointments, it goes down. You know, the church would be fine and the pastor would have a lot of energy as long as there's no people, right? But the nature of the beast is we all have problems. And it's okay to go, but let me say this. Make sure you not just tell them bad news, tell them some good news. Hey, my this happened, an encouraging voicemail. I remember as a youth pastor, I wanted to quit. I told my wife I wanted to quit one time. I said I got sick and tired. I just didn't want to work with these teenagers anymore. It was just like I was about to be done. And I remember I told my wife, and Miss Simley probably don't even remember. She was I think she was a junior in high school, and she wrote me a letter. And I read that letter. I remember and took that thought of quitting. I said, you know what? I'm going to just keep going on. Thank you, Miss Seemley, for that letter when you were a junior in high school. I don't know if I ever told you that. But write him an encouraging letter, a text message. Hey, Pastor Myers, thank you for this. Thank you for, by the way, shake his hand. Thank you for the message. And if he asks you, what did I preach about? It was good. Listen to it. I try to do this, and I don't know, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this. But with our pastor, I did the same thing. Maybe once every couple months, I'll write him a thank you letter saying, thank you for helping. Thank you for employing me here. And thank you for helping me to provide for my family because of a job I have here. Every couple months, I would write that. Well, write an encouraging letter, encouraging text, encouraging voicemail. By the way, every once in a while, slip a gift card. Hey, Pastor Mark, you know, during fast day, I always tell him and his wife, hey, I'll take you eat anywhere, wherever you want to go eat. They always say no. But, you know, take him out. Remember his birthday. Take care of his physical needs. We talked about that. Number next, take care of his mental needs. Take care of the pastor. By the way, he's going to make mistakes. I remember Brother Hiles, pastor told a story about him knocking down a building. He signed off on knocking down a building. And Brother Bruce, when they went and they went to look at it, knocked down the wrong building. Wasn't even theirs. Like, wow. He's going to make mistakes. By the way, I'm not talking about moral mistakes. I'm not talking about sinful things. But overlook some mistakes. I remember pastor was preaching one time, and we played Vine. I don't know if you remember, Brother Pineda. We were playing Vine. And we were just beating them back. We were pressing them. They couldn't do anything. And all of a sudden, our whole team filed out. I mean, they were calling every ticky-tack. Our whole team filed out except one person, and we couldn't play anymore. I mean, it was bad. Forfeited the game. We played them next again before. And pastor told me, and I'm, you know, I'm the devil, pastor. Hey, Brother Ross, he said, Nate, hey, Nate, go tell him I'm in high school. Go tell that ref that when we played last time, we all filed out and they did us wrong. And we want to just let them know that we weren't happy. So I went to go tell him that. And the ref came back. I remember I was standing there talking. And he said, hey, pastor, I thought we're Christians here. Why aren't we forgiving these people? And pastor looked at it. He looked at me. He's like, ouch, he's right. Everybody makes mistakes. If you guys know Pastor Myers, and if you've known him for a long time, you know he's not perfect. But overlook those things. Constantly be a blessing. You never know when he needs it. Whether it's his birthday, his anniversary, let's do something. You know, we're going to do something special for this anniversary. Make sure you be a part of that. Give. I know we have all been given to a lot of things, but give. I'm done with this. Let me read some statistics here. The average pastor lasts about 3 years in the church. The average pastor lasts 3 years. I call people for youth conference, and it amazes me sometimes. His pastor, he's not the pastor anymore. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every month due to spiritual burnout. America is experiencing a net loss of 3,000 churches each year. 3,000 churches each year are closing its doors. 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. 80% of pastors and 84% of pastors' wives are discouraged with the ministry. 50% are so discouraged they would leave the ministry if they could, but they have no other means of making a living. 85% said the greatest problem is they are sick and tired of dealing with problems, problem people such as deacon and staff. Funny. Number next, 80% of pastors' wives have their husband, 80% of pastors' wife with their husband had wished their husbands had chosen another profession. 50% of pastors' marriages end in divorce. Wow. 70% of pastors do not have a close friend or confidant. You know, the pastor can't just go to some of us and say, hey, I need your help. 80% of pastors' children seek professional help for depression by the time Jack. Over 50% of pastors' wives said that the most destructive event that has occurred in their marriage and family was the day they entered into the ministry. What makes a church great? It's a pastor. The pastor has they live in a glass vase, if you will. And everybody's looking and judging or whatever. A pastor's a regular person just like you and I. He's worthy of double honor. Church, let me say this. If you want God to continue to bless our church, you have to take care of the pastor. I talked to a pastor recently, and they said this. They said, Brother Ross, tell your people, make sure they take care of Pastor Myers. Because if they don't, big church, said if they don't, I know a lot of pastors that would hire him. Take care of the pastor. Sometimes we see Pastor Myers and we see him all the time and it's just Pastor Myers, just Brother Myers. God has placed him here for a specific reason. And I hope we embrace him. And I hope we do our best to encourage him. He's on vacation. Send him a text message. Hey, praying for you. Just, you know, go in, Instagram. A guy with post a guy with you know, Superman with a P on there. It's a super pastor, and tag him. Somebody's got to do that. Let's do our best, church. I love our church. Our church is a great church, and if we want to continue being a great church, let's take care of our pastor so he can lead us. So he doesn't have to stress out, so he can be in God's word and teach and lead us in the right way. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness, Lord, and I thank you for our church. Whoa, what great people. Thank you I could speak to them frankly, Lord, about Pastor Myers. Lord, I really believe he loves you. I really believe he's leading our church right, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we as church members don't hinder him to do what you've called him to do. Help us to support him. Help us to be behind him. Help us to be loyal. And help us, Lord, to pray for him and love him and honor him as your word tells us to. Bless our church and bless our people as they go their way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.